Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hello, guys.
Hello. How is everyone this evening?
Good.
Very good. Good.
I'm good.
Very good, Brother Bill. It was a very good pre-show audience. And we've concluded amongst ourselves that tonight we're going to have a series, maybe 2-3 weeks, of just a synopsis of the studies we've completed up to date. And basically this goes back to January, February, when we began the due diligence of the study of the gospel on the thousand-year reign, which you will find breakout studies, and the Gog and Magog, which after the thousand-year reign, the scriptures continue to tell a story that if you were told it, you wouldn't believe it. Bill?
Yeah, if you could told it, on a day-to-day basis, you see a little tiny, maybe bit more of the picture than yesterday. And I'm sure if I was to be told it all, I'm not sure, you know, it'd be too much for me right now, even too.
And audience, when we look at the scriptures, we're told over and over to read this gospel. If you want to know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel. And that goes back to Exodus. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Now, when we are trying to convey the studies that we've done, they're not like unlike any of the 501c churches, and that could be your corner church or the Mormon church or the Pope's church, this church or that church. But it tells the story of what they're doing in those churches to deceive God's holy people. And the good news in the spiritual is that we understand that the churches are the ones that are deceiving the congregations. They are the idol shepherds, and they're likened unto the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees of our Lord Jesus Christ's time. Chris?
I agree with you, Bob. I mean, this is the big issue. We've got so many focal points out there today taking our attention, but I am always going to be bringing your attention back to the condition of the church and the religious system that men are putting their trust in, and at the same time, the general consensus is to support the beast government because, you know, we've been, you know, brainwashed with the notion that this is what we're supposed to do. You know, misinterpretation of Romans where, you know, we're supposed to support our leaders, but there has to be a decision made here when you understand how corrupt and, you know, basically it's satanic. You know, our complete world government system today is satanic as per Scripture. And those who have studied their Scripture, studied to show themselves approved, know this, see this. But there it is. It's see. You know, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel, you know, this is the thing. You know, the Lord only lets his remnant see this stuff. And this is why we have such a hard time getting through to the people we love today, because most people, it says in Scripture, that for as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And this is the problem, because the snare is the flesh. The snare is the putting your hope in fleshly matters, which is Satan's favorite tool, as he you know, has corrupted the covenant with flattery. So we'll see that later on in the show tonight, you know, some more insight into that. this event that, like it says in 2 Peter, they will believe, you know, we don't believe cunningly devised fables, because this is what we have out there in the system.
Well,
we've got these fairy tales.
Let me interject this, Chris. Audience, we are looking at a fleshly understanding preached by the churches that this event is going to be a sign, this event is going to be a sign, this treaty is going to be done. And that goes back to the 1800s Scofield Bible is used. So that's an automatic diminishment of the word. So common sense says, well, don't read the diminished Bibles that are copyrighted. Don't read anything new. Read the true testament of the King James Version Bible. Is that the only way? You know, the Holy Spirit can reveal this to anyone. Is it the way that we study? Well, we study this, and it's not changing from Genesis to Revelation. So there's a key understanding that there will be a famine on the land, and that famine is for the word. Well, that's this word. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to have it written in your heart, you need to read the gospel. You need to understand this. And since there's so much deception, only the Holy Spirit will teach you what you're supposed to know, not what we know. You can put no man on a pedestal at this time, audience. I assure you, the correct rendering of scriptures is fading fast, and it was foretold. But spiritually, you can grasp by the identifications in scriptures of exactly what's happening. And a little leaven, the woman that hid three measures of leaven, that leavened the whole lump, as easily defined as this, that leaven is a bad thing throughout the scriptures. That woman is identified as the harlot church, the church of Babylon. And there's divisions in that church. There's spiritual Egypt, there's spiritual Sodom. Now, we come to you in truth saying this is good news for you to understand this, audience. This was foretold. This is as prophetic could be. And going to the churches, contributing to the churches to do whatever they're going to do is a bad thing. So stop. And if you can't take 40 days out of your life and pray to our Lord Jesus Christ and read the scriptures, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's our heartfelt proper rendering of scripture. Brother Bill?
Absolutely. You know, the corpses are lying dead, like Chris was saying, in the in these Christian houses of ill repute. you know, the lusts of the world will not allow the Lord's witnesses to put away their old man into the grave. You know, and Jesus says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, excuse me, not Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, I live. Yet not, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, and the devil hates this. You know, and his mission is to keep you beholding to the flesh and prevent you from going to the cross to crucify that old man. You know, Satan seeks to keep you spiritually dead. The Lord cannot raise you up with power to set in heavenly places until you've died in the flesh. And, you know, this word Jesus said in Matthew 23, you know, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, get up the kingdom of heaven against me. So they're keeping him in the world, keeping them from dying to the flesh, these houses of ill repute. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer he them that enter to go in. So, you know, you don't enter the kingdom but yourself, and you block others. I believe it was another quote. But this is what I'm seeing in Revelation 11. And they of the people of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they are not dying in the flesh. And, you know, and when that happens, the demons just feast on you.
Okay, and, you know, this is what we've seen the last few weeks. I got to hand it to Bill for bringing this out in his observation of, you know, the tree of Babylon and, the tree from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we see so clearly that this is the true rendering of Matthew 13:31-2, where, you know, the mustard seed grows into the tree of Babylon. You know, how many times has this piece of scripture been misinterpreted? But we see that, the church turns into Babylon, where the birds, the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field, find refuge. And it says in Daniel that all flesh is fed. This is the deal. You know, this is the deal. The harlot church system is focused on the flesh. And this is the sad story that I am so heartbroken over. And I don't want to keep sounding so judgmental and condescending, but I just don't know how else to sugarcoat the truth. Because these are my dear friends that are in this system, and I know them. And I know them well, because I used to be one of them. And by the grace of God, the Lord reached down and plucked me out of this thing. And when you're out of it, then you can see it. Like we saw last week, where the angel took John into the wilderness, and he saw the harlot. As he was carried away in the spirit to the wilderness, that's what allowed him to see the woman. And
he was amazed.
And he was amazed.
Yeah.
And we're amazed. But it's the fact that, you know, the problem is that we talked before about Amos, about I will send a famine on the land, not for bread and water, but for hearing of the word of the God, of the Lord. And this is the deal. It's not the fact that the word isn't going out, because these churches preach, say the words, they mouth the words.
Well, Jesus said, your lips are, what did Jesus say? Your lips are close to me, but your hearts are far away. And
amen. That's exactly it. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And this is the thing that we have today. And I'm sorry that this is the case. You know, I know that those that would be listening could be offended by this right now, but this is the truth. This is what's happening, because these words are, they demand a verdict, and they are, they're a call to repentance. And this is the thing I just can't get over, is that we don't hear repentance out there. We hear everybody looking for all these apostate Christian leaders, presenting a biblical worldview, quote-unquote, whatever that is, You know, my Bible, the worldview that my Bible gives me is that the whole world lies in wickedness. You know, this is the worldview that I have. And I understand sackcloth and ashes because I'm in sackcloth and ashes. And I'm just mourning, you know, for my kindred, as Paul said. You know, I feel the same lament that Paul had for his kindred Israel, because this is who it is that we're mourning for, is apostate Israel, modern spiritual Israel, who is gone the way of the, you know, Old Testament Israel. The patterns of apostasy are identical. And it's the following after false gods and pride. You know, these are the sins that are, rampant today, in that we still don't hear the call to repentance. And, then, you know, the Lord will heal our land, you know, if my people will humble themselves. But I don't hear that. I hear it being said, but I don't see it being worked out with fear and trembling. And this is what I see today, and I'm just, you know, just devastated about it. Because I walk around with a lump in my throat all day long. Because I know what's coming, and I know how these people that I love are not prepared for it at all. And that's all I have to say right now, guys.
Well, here's the good news, audience. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her maid, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And the proper rendering is, read this gospel, audience. That's what the Lord wants you to do. That's it. Seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reveal the truth of scriptures to you. And it may not be any topic that we've ever discussed. It may be something so obscured. But when you apply it to everybody else's learning and teaching, the body of Christ becomes one, because all of the proper renderings of Scripture, nothing will be changed. These are glimpses in the prophetic understandings that kings and governors all want to know. But they're in the apostate. They're following a fleshly Israel. They're following a fleshly priest that is using a diminished Bible that is starving his flock. It's likened unto a calf in a stall. You feed the calf milk, the milk of Scripture. And then the calf grows up, and then he has the meat of Scripture. But what we have now is that the serpent, the dragon, and the scorpion, likened unto the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribe. And the scorpions, the muscle of the group that does the will of the serpents, are leading everybody by flatteries into a famine. And this famine is upon the entire inhabitants of the earth. And it's all scriptural. It's in the scriptures. Bill?
Absolutely. There's very, very few out there teaching true repentance, you know, and changing your ways and turning to the Lord. You know, sackcloth is a symbol for submission to the Lord. These witnesses, when they're talking about the two witnesses, you know, they seek to please the Lord and not themselves. Babylon is not wearing sackcloth. They're glorying in the flesh. Mm-hmm. That's really what they have not put on no sackcloth, and there is no true repentance, and there's no dying to the flesh. Lip service, let's bring the world in, and we can have Jesus and the world too. And that's the message today.
Yeah.
And audience, if you understand this gospel, you understand that it's full of metaphors, analogies, parables, and these are all supposed to be examples to you, the reader, And when the Holy Spirit reveals what everything means by studying yourself approved, having a love of the truth, you begin to see the transformation from one, let's call it a blueprint of verses, and then you have another blueprint that goes with that verse to build spiritual understanding. As an example, 2 Kings 23:2, and the king went up into the house. Audience, that house is you. You are the temple of the house. You are the temple of the Lord, and this is your house that it's talking about. And all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Now, you are told you are the temple of the Lord, audience. So this verse is, that's your house, keep your house in order.
Amen.
Be ye a holy temple, you are a lively stone. All of these metaphors have, lively stone, audience, has many, I think it's 15, 16 meanings. Because then it rolls into stumbling blocks, and then millstones, and then smooth stones. But you'll never get this without studying it. Chris?
Amen, brother. Yeah, so I'm just, seeking the Lord daily of what is what we're seeing, this shift, if you will. We have several terms for this quickening of the spirit that we're feeling. We talk about that as far as the actual born again experience, as opposed to the awakening that's happening in the body of Christ. Because I'm here to testify that there are witnesses out there. I make the rounds out there on the internet. I go to the forums. And I, just look for edifying things. And every once in a while, you come across somebody in the truth. You can spot it a mile away, and they're preaching the truth. But, Bill just sent me a link today.
And he got kicked off for preaching the truth pretty quickly there.
Yeah, he got kicked off, and he got labeled as a, what do they call him?
A troll.
Yeah, I mean, and this guy was in the truth.
He comes to absolute truth. He comes to them with the sword of truth that they can't even parry. So when they can't parry, they can't come in and parry the truth. They just ban you then. Banned as a troll. Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was reading. It's just like that website has gone totally apostate since I left it a year and a half ago.
Yeah, but it's just, these guys are out there. And this is what God is doing, because all throughout the world, as per Scripture, we know that His witnesses are out there testifying His truth. And it's, with this understanding of Revelation chapter 11 that we're getting, I got to say that what sparked it in me was our Gog Magog studies, as we were looking at Ezekiel chapter 37, and the understandings coming out of that. But, the dry bones that the Lord breathed life back into, and they stood up. And, you see the reference to the two witnesses standing up. And, it's just so amazing that the way the Lord is, sparking this in all of us, because we see something here. But the thing that caught me, because I identify with this, I read the scripture and I go, this is describing what happened to me. Because I was dead. I was part of the apostate harlot church. I'd become, I've been riding the roller coaster for many years. But, I knew something was wrong, and I just kept seeking the Lord. And when the timing was right, through a bunch of, circumstances, the Lord woke me up. And it began with me was a clarity in my ear that I hadn't had for many years. Because I had, I lost my passion for the truth. I wonder if I ever even really had it. I probably did have some semblance of it, but as I've come to understand now, the utter need we have for the the love for the truth. Otherwise, we'll die. But as I see, you know, my waking process, when the Lord breathed life back into me, and I stood on my feet, and it says that, you know, fear came upon them that saw them, you know. And this is what happened to me, because I was always accused of having so much fear in my message, and I couldn't understand that, because I was excited about what the Lord was showing me, you know, the absolute reality of where we were in Scripture, realizing that you know, this government is controlled by the beast system, and as I started to put the pieces together with the apostasy, this all happened, you know, slowly. But you know, this is why I'm lonely here in the wilderness. You know, I all my friends have abandoned me. They don't want to hear this, you know. And it's just it was so hard to understand until I had that Scripture. You know, the Lord used that to just minister to me and say, no, it's okay, because it's happening exactly the way I said it would. And you know, this is all this has been. You know, in all the troubling experiences that you know we go through, but all you gotta do is look in Scripture, and you realize that you'll be persecuted and you'll be hated for my sake. And there's, you know, there's solace in that, you know, as you know that the Lord is there with you, you know, purifying you. As this persecution sweeps away the lies, you know, the hail sweeps away the lies. And as the truth, as you're replacing the lies that you've been indoctrinated with for how many years, when you replace those lies with the truth, that's when the power comes in, and when you feel the freedom, because you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Those words are absolutely true. There is a freeing in, you know, replacing the lies that bind you, you know, that keep you in bondage. So this is what I'm encouraging the listeners tonight: to love the truth and, you know, believe the truth, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. That's what the gospel is. You know, being sanctified and believing the truth. You know, that's like a very good, clear, simple presentation of the gospel right there. Because when you do believe the truth, you know, all the gospel message comes through. All the wonderful teachings of Jesus. You know, you can accept them and apply them to your life. You know, not only being a hearer, but a doer of the word too. Because that's what it takes.
Audience, so we have a spiritual construct, and then we have fleshly understanding, and you're told don't be fooled by Jewish fables, genealogies, and of course you have millions and millions of Christians under the Zionist movement, and no day or time will be given, but you have millions and millions under the pre-tribulation rapture. And then millions of millions mingled with both. And they agree to disagree. Where we have one gospel, and it says the same thing to those that have a love of the truth. It all points to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, you know, he showed us the way. He walked on the earth. You know, he was born of the Father's blood. But he took on the flesh of man, and he was fully tested as a man. And the message that he taught us is love thy neighbor. That's what he showed us in his walk on this earth. You know, Jesus did not ask us to bring down fire from heaven on what we would think are the rebellious ones. You know, that job is left unto God, and he sends his powers of darkness for that. This is what the two witnesses are. They love thy neighbors as thyselves. It's 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So all goodness blossoms from faith, which is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. That's what you build your faith upon, the rock of Jesus Christ. But from which the greatest of these comes is charity. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. There it is right there. That's the agape love of the Father in you. That's what he's looking for. The story of the Good Samaritan. That's Jesus Christ in you. That's loving thy neighbor as thyself. And then we notice that two people in that story just bypass the Samaritan on the side of the road.
Amen, Bill. That is just really profound, because you're right. That's what it's all about. And it's just, a real challenge today. I know I'm just speaking for myself, because come across with passion and with love to the lost when we're, up against this harlot religious system and all the things that are coming against us. It's a challenge. It's really a challenge to keep that love in your heart and in your message. And we don't come across as loving many times with, presenting the truth, because the truth is so divisive. And I often, really wonder, what is love? I mean, what is the love the Lord is telling us to show to our neighbor? And it's just a question that I have to wrestle with all the time. And a lot of times I come across as harsh and unloving, I suppose. I know for sure. But I'm not. I have a passion for the lost, a dire passion for the lost to come to the knowledge of the truth, to know the freedom that I know.
Well, the lost is the good Samaritan on the side of the road. That's who the lost is. That's the lost dead person from the church whose soul is perishing on the side of the road, is the Good Samaritan. And you're coming to that Good Samaritan with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to revive. You give him water, you heal his, you give him the Holy Spirit, his wounds are healed. Second Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So the faith is built upon the rock. And this is what you add to it: virtue, knowledge, knowledge to temperance, and temperance to patience, and patience to godliness, and godliness to brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So there's seven things built upon faith, which is, that makes eight, that makes you a new creature born in Jesus Christ. And the final thing there is the charity, the agape love of the Father. That's the final achievement. As you Amen. Work through that whole process in 2 Peter 1:5. These are the ones that are judged worthy in his great white throne judgment in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, which we went over in the Great White Throne Judgment in our Thousand Years Reign study. That's what you're that's all agape love that you're judged upon there. He says, those that I thirst, they gave me water. Those that I was ill, they ministered to me. And I'm just really roughly paraphrasing, but that's the agape love of the Father.
Yeah, that's a real good observation, Bill.
Seven things there in 2 Peter. How faith grows into a virtue, and virtue into knowledge, and knowledge into temperance, and temperance into patience, and patience into, and then all the it builds into all those seven things build into an eighth, which is your faith, and that's you're reborn in a new creature in Jesus Christ. Yeah. The ultimate accomplishment is charity. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Yeah. That's what charity is. That's what agape love is the story of the Good Samaritan.
And audience.
Like I said, these people are spiritually dying on the side of the road. They've been spiritually attacked on the side of the road, like the Good Samaritan. And then the demons are just feasting on them.
Yeah, and I really got some understanding on that this week. I know it was an email that I think Loretta sent us about a guy that made an observation about the deception is actually the judgment that God's, sending his church, sending the church what they want.
They want a king. They don't want Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. They want to have their
Barabbas.
They want somebody to itch their ears for them.
Right.
So God gives it to them.
That's right.
But it's not where salvation is. But in through this, we've said it before. It's the threshing floor. It's the separation process that It's a real key tool that I see in God's separating out his flock is the deception. Because, you know, the Lord's, because the sheep hear his voice. And, you know, God doesn't allow his own sheep to be deceived. And so this is why it's so important to walk so closely with the Lord in these perilous times, because the deception is so great. And, you know, to be free of that deception, you know, we just need to be so tightly locked into Jesus' yoke.
And they come as angels of light, audience.
As angels of light, yes.
These are the ungodly in scriptures.
Mm.
These are the idol shepherds. These are the money changers. And if you can't see it as a common sense says when you wake up and turn on your radio, if you have a Bible in front of you and you're listening to a preacher and you know your scriptures, the Holy Spirit will check you and you will know they're wrong. They're wrong by another gospel. But who reads this gospel? That's the good news, audience. If you understand this, this is very good news for you. The Lord is revealing to you the revelation that everybody wants to know. And on a fleshly level, it'll make you cry. Literally. A hard man will cry to understand this. Because you understand the deception. And when you go to try and tell anyone, they will not hear ye. Nothing. And if you talk to it doesn't matter if it's a preacher, a rabbi, imam, whatever, they won't hear you. Because a word cuts like a sword. When you have the proper renderings of scriptures, no one will tread on you. No one will lead you in deception. Bill?
Absolutely. That's how you keep, you know, it was the heel of Jesus, you know, that bruised the head of the serpent. You know, as it says, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, and his foot will bruise the serpent's head. And we had the serpent's head under our foot as we were treading on serpents and scorpions. But this, you know, this little season now, the serpent is, or Satan's been unleashed now. We no longer have our head on his foot. Or our foot on his head, excuse me.
I like, you know, when Paul was lost at sea, they ended up on an island with the native people. This is a very simple analogy, audience. And the whole tribe of the people that were amazed just to see them coming out of the ocean, remember, it wasn't a you know, modern-day shipping. This is a shipwreck, and you don't know what the ocean was, but there was a native tribe. And Paul was bit by a serpent that the native tribe, if you use this analogy, they knew it would kill you. They were shocked and astonished. But Paul, as the ensample, he shook it off into the fire. Because he was about his Father's business. It wasn't about Paul. It was about Jesus Christ. And if you can get into that repentance mindset where you change the views of everything you've been taught and just fasten your eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ and study the gospel, you will see that the Israel of the Old Testament, all the analogies, parables, and examples, the fulfillment of Scripture in every account is in the New Jerusalem. In the spiritual kingdom. Because the spiritual Israel of the new covenant is the Israel of God. And by studying these parables and analogies, you get the entire truth. And then, just as Jesus healed the blind, the deaf, and the crippled, you will heal. You will heal with this gospel. That's the most important thing to understand in this ungodly world, audience. In Psalm 71:4, deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Let Isaiah 26:10, let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of unrighteousness? Will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord? Now, audience, that's telling you that you need to preach this gospel. You need to understand this gospel. You need to read this gospel. You need to hear this gospel. But you need to have this understanding so that when you hear on the radio the wrong gospel, you understand what's going on. When you hear the corner church preaching pre-tribulation rapture, you need to recognize and witness this. Bill?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that story about Paul there. He had, and I'm sure you're right, he had cast the serpent into the fire, you said?
Yes.
That's the fire out of the mouth of the Lord, that, you know, when you're speaking the words of God, that's the fire that destroys the serpent.
Which leads, audience, to that you're armed by the Lord for this. This is your armor.
Yeah.
The rod and the staff are a great study, audience. They teach of teaching. But you are armed with the armor of light. You have the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're fastened on him. And you're armed in the spirit of the Ephesians 6 armor, but it's metaphors. Your helmet of salvation is protecting you from the false doctrine. You are shod to tread on serpents and scorpions with the knowledge of the truth of this gospel. And the rest of the world is not. And if you don't have a understanding of the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are being deceived. And when we look at the numbers, it's so staggering that it's unbelievable. In the past 3 years, gentlemen, has the famine on the land for the word been multiplied?
It's awful.
It's hard to imagine that it could have increased, but it seems like it has, yes.
We didn't think it could get worse, audience. And any ministry that's mingled with money is, boy, they are in trouble. They are just in trouble, and they know it not.
Right, the money causes you to compromise. That's the thing, and that's a little tiny bit of leaven. And we all know what happens after the tiny bit of leaven comes in.
Even the teachers are deceived, and they know it not.
Especially the teachers. This is the problem. You know, the leadership is the most deceived, and because of the. You know, the pride, you know, the leaven that we know about is the pride of the scribes and Pharisees has risen again. You know, the metaphor of the rising.
Yep.
You know, false prophets shall rise up and deceive many.
Right. That's that they're glorying in the flesh. That's what they're rising up. They're rising up as glorying in the flesh. And instead of dying to the flesh and wearing sackcloth.
Yeah, and that's the first couple verses of the notes that, you know, we've got in front of us tonight. Isaiah 28:1, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. You know, this is it. You know, they're overcome with wine, the wine of false doctrine. And, you know, the pride, the crown of pride, you know, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. And then it ties right into 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. I mean, this is what the Lord is doing. The Lord is you know, getting ready to deal with this pride that has risen up. You know, it's absolutely part of the beast system. The beast is pride. The beast out of the sea. We see the correlation, to Leviathan is pride. And it's risen. It's risen, the beast that was not and shall ascend. You know, this is the religious pride that killed Jesus Christ. And the Lord, dealt with this. You know, he destroyed Israel in 70 AD. And now, this religious system has risen back to power. And here we are today.
Manifestation of this. Remember, in 70 AD, Israel was totally destroyed. And history tells us, from many accounts, that the Roman armies and all of their all the Roman armies and the commissioned, they call them, what's the word I'm looking for? The hirelings, the subcontractors.
Right. They had there's a word for them that the Arabs were used. They've been used quite often throughout history for that role that you're speaking of there. I can't think of the word neither. Proxy warriors or?
As this goes on, audience, it wasn't just the Romans. It was everybody around them that served Rome.
Yeah.
And what they thought was that the temple in the city was full of gold.
Yeah.
So they said, hey, anybody that wants some gold, go in there. Fight for us. Because we're going to crush this, because it's the will of the Lord that it be crushed. And in doing so, the history tells us that no stone shall not be overturned. Because they were looking for gold, so they tore everything down, because with the heat of the fires would burn the gold, and the gold would sink down to the bottom underneath the rubble.
And what was their sin? They knew not the hour of their visitation. And this is what's going to happen again. As the spiritual temple is destroyed, because they knew, again, you know, the church knows not the hour of their visitation.
No sign will be given. Now, if you're the temple of the Lord and you're studying this gospel, you're amazed of this story. Because I can remember 5 years ago listening to the radio thinking, well, I got to catch Jack Van Impe. You know, he's in the truth. He could quote the Bible and no one can tell him this or that, or you're tossed to and fro to left behind. Millions, 25 million books sold. Or TBN. Or this new preacher, or that new preacher, or this DVD. Anything but this gospel. Anything but the Word of God.
And how I hear a guy like Jack Van Impe, and I just cringe. You know, the words, Jack Van Impe, or a David Jeremiah, or...
The list is endless.
These guys,
David Jeremiah. Now, where would they get that name? David Jeremiah.
Yeah, how could a guy with a spiritual name like that be? But he's corrupted. You know, he's been corrupted. It's just the pattern that it's just unbelievable that these guys that have risen to power. But these men have all built their kingdoms on the back of the beast. This is the problem. You know, they're riding the back of the beast system. You know, one thing, physical. They've built their empires on the coattails of Salem Communication for promoting their empire.
And originally we thought, yes, that's right, but it's not only Salem Communications, it's all corrupt.
Absolutely. It just like in the harlot that we read last week in the harlot, you know, she's decked with gold and diamonds and everything on the outside. But the inside is full of filthiness and fornication.
Yeah. It's just the ongoing pattern. The Lord looks at the heart, you know, and unfortunately society today. It looks at the, you know, the outward. This is where the...
They want their resume to look really good.
Yeah, this is where people's affections are. People's affections are on the outward. But, you know, the Lord tells us to set our affections on things above. And unfortunately, you know, people are just in love with this world. And it really amazes me because as we see this thing just coming unglued, for goodness sakes, I mean, the northern continents are glowing. You know, babies are dying in the womb with, from the radiation.
Very sad.
It's unbelievable how does the beast kingdom deal with it?
They're praising themselves. They're glorying in their flesh, telling everybody that what a wonderful job they're doing over there, bringing them democracy and
yeah, and they just black out the truth about the nuclear plant that's in duress up in Nebraska right now. How many people even know about that?
So this is what the beast is doing over there in the Middle East on the beast layer of government. And what is the church doing? The church is supporting this and glorying in their flesh. The church should be in sackcloth and ashes over what's happening in the Middle East.
Right. But they're cheering it. They're cheering.
They're just glorying in it, right.
Yeah. They're choosing sides.
Yep.
Because they love not the truth.
They love not the truth, right.
So God's turned them over to strong delusion, and they believe it's the evil Muslims that we're coming against over there so that we can spread the wonders of our democracy. But we understand, you know, democracy is really the mechanism of the beast kingdom. You know, we'll get into that in a little while here.
Else can you get your own Antichrist without voting the system in?
Oh, yeah.
Two factions of evil. It's foretold that Babylon would have two factions of evil.
Yep.
And we're told, you know, don't worry about what Rome's doing. Give to Rome what's Rome. Pay your taxes. Obey the laws. That's what you're told to do, audience. That takes away all of the fleshly afflictions of no matter where you're at. If your Rome is in Mexico, then follow the laws of Mexico. It's to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is to witness this. This is unbelievable. How many websites do we know, gentlemen, that are in the truth? If you're a new listener, listen to this.
Off the top of my head, I would say maybe 10.
Chris?
I don't know where to go on the internet to get an edifying message anymore other than a handful that we know. You know, our brother Pete. You know, James Lloyd, the Remnant Blogs, Third Great Awakening,
Cindy.
You know, it's just so sad. But, I mean, we don't want to sound, you know, like we're special. I mean, we're doing our part in our little corner of the world here. And, you know, we just have to trust that the Lord's got his witnesses out there, you know, in the four corners of the world spreading this message. But this is what it is in these end times. You know, these are just voices in the wilderness, you know, falling on deaf ears. But, you know, God just makes sure that his word goes out. And, you know, what does it say? That 7,000 would not bow their knee to Baal, you know?
Yep.
It's hard to put numbers on all this stuff. You know, we struggle with the metaphoric understanding. But
it's all good, audience. Our struggle is good.
Yeah, it's a good fight.
It's a good struggle because we know we're doing the will of the Lord.
Actually, there's metaphorically your 7,000, Chris. You know, seven holiness and 1,000.
Yeah.
I want to get into that 1,000 study.
We're going to pick that back up. Well, I think tonight, now that we're getting this information out, I want to share with the audience that I've had something on my heart, and it was really neat tonight that both Bob and Bill had the same thing on their mind, with just to put together an overview type study that you could, you know, even possibly hand out to your friends and loved ones, just about the, you know, I was thinking along the lines of the snapshot type show that, you know, I did that a couple months ago, just to give people a general overview of where we are today with Scripture and what is happening as we see, you know, the predominant doctrine out there is based on flesh. And this is the key that we have identified here at Watchman Weekly, that all the error is basically traced back to a flesh foundation where men are putting their hope in fleshly Israel, you know, the fleshly, you know, beast government, America, taking America back for God, a biblical worldview, you know, supporting these leaders, you know, voting, being, you know, just all these, it's just, we're at the point now in this end time scenario that, you know, our hope is on things above, not on things on the earth, and we are to put our hope in the, you know, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And then all our fleshly needs are met out of this, you know. But you know, we saw there in 1 Peter that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of that's the glory of man, you know. And it's going to wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. I mean, this is what the tribulation is about. It's about God dealing with these the flesh in man, you know, the pride, the idolatry, the fleshly. Matters that men are holding on to. The Lord will have none of this. You know, this is not part of the spotless bride, because believe me, Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride, and it's going to be a matter of trying, you know, as gold and silver, you know, through the fire, as the dross is skimmed off. You know, this is what's ahead, and the most ironic thing of all is the fact that the Lord is going to use His church carry out this very judgment, because the persecution comes from within. The persecution comes from the house of God against the remnant. And this is what the most amazing thing, and I do believe this is what Habakkuk is saying. If I would have told you, you wouldn't believe it. This is the strange work. You know, the Lord says in Habakkuk, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, which ye will not believe, though it be told to you." And Isaiah 28:21 says, "And the Lord shall rise up as in the Mount of Perazim, and he shall be wroth as in the Valley of Gibeon." Wroth is anger. This is the anger the Lord has. The Lord is angry. You know, I mean, the goodness and severity of God, you know, we have to take both into account. It says that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act. This strange act, you know, the Lord is going to do His work, and it's underway. His work is underway. You know, the persecution has begun. You know, it's always been persecution, but we see the end time persecution against the, you know, the church that has grown, you know, increasing goods and in need of nothing, that we see today as a result of the prosperity, which I believe is the snare that the Lord set, you know, the prosperity that we've grown so accustomed to, that we feel we're entitled to today. You know, well, this is about to be stripped from us. You know, we're going to have all the green grass is going to be burned up, and you know, we're going to lose everything fleshly that we're holding on to. So the advice that we give you here at Watchman Weekly is to, you know, relinquish that willingly now, because it'll be much easier on you.
Just study the Scriptures, audience. Don't worry about the flesh. It's a one-day gig.
It's a one-day gig.
You're told, and this is the Lord, Exodus 4:11, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Now, on another level, audience, Leviticus 19:14, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord." So now you have two layers, audience, of this simple analogy for blind, dumb, deaf. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. This is Psalms 146:8. "The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." Isaiah 35:5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Now these all point to our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the Lord's healings, all of the miracles, to fulfill Scripture. And now, audience, because of all the deception, it's a recapitulation of our Lord's time, in His generation, that the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees didn't recognize Him, that they killed Him, just as He is being killed now in the spirit of His believers that are being led by idol shepherds into idol worship and death. And we're admonished, don't worry about those that could kill the body. Worry about those that could kill the body and the soul. And if you are not armed in the Ephesians 6 armor and understand those analogies, these fiery darts that are raining down now are blotting out the sky. And no, the sun and the moon are darkened. These analogies are speaking the truth.
Yeah, the sun is dark, and that's the gospel. There's no more gospel. The restrainer is gone. They're coming in over the walls. You know, and the moon is darkened. The church gives no light whatsoever now. It can't reflect the light of the gospel because, the gospel, the restrainer, is pretty much gone.
Yeah, the church is the unwalled villages.
Unwalled
The walls of protection are gone, and that's why they're wide open to the serpents and the scorpions, the armies from the north and the south.
Amen. If you'd like to go ahead and continue where with you were on that, you were at Habakkuk or Amos or Chris?
Yeah, let's, we know that Amos said, surely the Lord will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. And these are the remnant that the Lord has called out and with His truth. It's always been, all through time. There's always been His voice crying out, to the church to repent and to return to your first love, in so many words. And nothing's changed. But it's, we hear, in Habakkuk 2:3, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I mean, this is the thing, this is like the scoffers that say, where is the sign of His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? Well, we are just encouraged to continue to wait and to wait on the Lord, because it will happen. It will happen. It is written. So we can't forget this. But, folks, if we, can't make it clear enough, what we just heard in Habakkuk, as far as Habakkuk telling us that it is not yet an appointed time, but at the end, it shall speak. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I mean, this is our call to just be patient, to be diligent, to endure.
That was the call of Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah.
It says, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, waiting on the kingdom of God, begged for the body of Jesus.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Begged for the body of Jesus.
Right.
That sackcloth and ashes, begging for the body, begging for the man-child.
Right. Right. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But we see, as far as our trying to bring so many of these key truths together for you tonight, folks, we see the things we've gone over. The emphasis on the flesh. This is the big one. I really believe this is the most important thing to understand, is that the Lord's calling us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to let go of these fleshly matters, because there's no future in them. You know, they're going to let you down. That's all there is to it. And, you know, we've seen some clear renderings of prophecy, you know, come out in that, you know, the identity of Israel, as we see that Satan has got that so twisted and so corrupted today that, you know, the church doesn't know who they are. You know, there's a major identity crisis going on, identity theft, if you will. And while we see that Israel is the church, Satan has got the church convinced that it must support a fleshly group of people that is identified as Israel.
Right, because the scriptures say that God is flesh, and them that worship Him should worship Him in flesh and lies.
Right, that's what what they're saying.
That's the doctrine that they got.
Yeah, and it's error, and it's error, and it's a key manifestation of the fleshly emphasis on the flesh. There's nothing more clear than that manifestation, as others. And I believe it's the ultimate manifestation of the abomination of desolation. You know, O destroyer of thy heritage, as the Christian church has forfeited their heritage as Israel and given it to a fleshly group of people. You know, and this is what we call the Esau effect. Whereas Esau, you know, surrendered his birthright for a bowl of soup. And basically this is what the church is doing today, giving up its birthright and, you know, giving it back to a fleshly group of people when they fail to accept their heritage as Israel. You know, this is what the Lord died on the cross for. And, you know, the definition of Israel is people who are in covenant with God.
Yes.
You know, the Israel of God. This is the construct, the body that was, is, and always will be God's people.
Amen.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, so now, audience, we come out with very, very deep meat of scripture. This, but on the surface of scripture, tells you to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ for this. And pray that you're not deceived.
I think we lost Bob again.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Big Bob.
I'm showing all good on here.
Okay, there you go.
Now you're sounding okay. For a second, you broke up there.
So,
go ahead. Now you're sounding okay, hopefully.
Yep, you're sounding good now. So, audience, what we're trying to relay to you is that the milk of Scripture, the very simple renderings, are telling you that you are likened unto our Lord in this time. But you don't focus on that you're the Lord Jesus Christ, you focus onto an ensample. Because there was only one Lord God. But you have the example of David. And though David sinned with Bathsheba, he repented of his sins. He was in sackcloth and ashes. He was punished by the Lord. But he was still a man after the Lord's own heart. And he was healed by the Lord. And that example takes us into what we're supposed to do. We're to repent of our sins. We're to sin no more and go. And preach this gospel and understand this gospel and prepare to do whatever the will of the Lord is. I always say it's as simple as opening the door for somebody. Maybe that was the will of the Lord. And that could happen in 10 years from now. Because He knows every hair on your head. And He knows your heart. Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the world. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And, you know, we've probably all heard that 1,000 times or more. So how we could first find his kingdom is come out of this world, because we know that's where it's not. That's, you know, he gave us a strong pointers there that to come looking for his kingdom, to come seeking him, you're not going to find it in the world. So that's the first place we don't look. That's just common sense would tell us that. But they are, you know, they're glued to the world.
And you know what we've seen, you know, with the understandings of prophecy that you know continue on from the misidentity of Israel, and what we saw come out of that period of time, 1947, 1948. We've gone over in these studies for, you know, weeks and weeks, you know, exhausting the understanding of the pale horse, which is, you know, where we are today. You know, we are in the pale horse, the verse fourth beast cycle of end times, which is, anybody that's, been following along with us knows this is the end. I mean, we're at the end of this deal. It's game over, and it's time to, you know, all we can ever, encourage the listeners to do is to get right with the Lord and stay there. Get your house in order and keep it in order. Because we see, you know, the clear understanding that the black horse, red horse, white horse, pale horse is a direct correlation of the four beasts of Daniel. The lion, the bear, the leopard, and the diverse fourth beast. The lion, which is connected with the white horse. This identity is the British Empire, whose wings were plucked. That's America. And we see the black horse, the panther, is the Nazi Empire. This is where we get, the wonderful, contributions to society like, the black sciences. And
which they weren't allowed to bomb any of those places in World War II, by the way, because business had to go on.
Right. And we tie I skipped over the white horse lion, you know, the British Empire. This is what we have, you know, to thank for British mercantilism, you know, capitalism.
Yep.
You know, and then the Nazi regime, we get fascism. And then we have the bear. We have the bear, the red horse, which is tied to communist Russia. You know, the bear, where we can thank spirit for the Marxist lies, the propaganda that has just infiltrated society, all came together after World War II.
Right.
We see clearly when World War II was concluded, this is when we had the United Nations, the State of Israel, and the pale horse beast government was in place. And from that point on, what we've seen is basically the covenant has been corrupted with flatteries. As we see this manifestation has been at work with this thing we call democracy as it's infiltrated society with its flatteries. And brought us things like Billy Graham, who was the one who brought us the merchandising style of evangelism, where we march the herds through the stalls and send them back out to these churches with no
efficient
consistency.
Order.
And what I see happen with Billy Graham is he started out strong, he started out good, but he was corrupted. You know, he was corrupted, and his whole presentation of the gospel turned into merchandising.
Well, yeah, there's an example of getting involved with the money. When the money's involved, that's like Solomon's temple. He built it with his foundation was the king of Tyre, the merchants of Tyre.
Right.
And Solomon. I mean, you know, that's not
the same pattern.
So what was Billy Graham's foundation? You know, Well, Randolph Hearst.
Randolph Hearst was
World Council of Churches, you know, and
exactly. And this all came out of the 1940s.
How can you get anything out of that triune matrix? I mean, it's
what good can come out of that?
Right.
And not to say that people didn't experience the Lord at a Billy Graham concert, conference.
True.
It's the corrupt message in that I know many that have based their salvation experience on making a commitment at a one-time event and considering themselves saved. This is the mentality in the churches today. And this is what we've seen run full circle now in that, these churches are full of unsaved people.
Right, a one-time commitment. The commitment is carrying the cross up to the end.
Yeah, that's
commitment.
And many are called, few are chosen. Yeah. This is the thing that's not taught because, heaven forbid you say anything against, that your commitment to Jesus Christ wasn't valid because, you're instantly slapped with accusation of a works gospel.
Absolutely. You mentioned they're carrying the cross. I mentioned carrying the cross up to the end. He that endureth to the end. And then I see on the internet this lady is walking across America or Canada or something carrying a cross.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
In a wheelbarrow.
It's flesh.
It's purely into flesh,
Yeah, right. It's absurd. But it's, this whole period of time since, we've identified this as the prosperity that rose out of the post-war era has basically been the final snare that the Lord set. The scripture says, I will set a snare for thee, O Israel, and you are caught. This is what it says in Jeremiah chapter 50. And, this is what we have. And, what else came out of this move of the pale horse? In the early 50s, we have wonderful additions to society like Hugh Hefner, bringing us pornography. On a mass scale, making it available. The 501c3 corporate church came out of this. We believe that the planning came out of the 47-48 era. As we see it came out into the public in 1953 with Lyndon Baines Johnson introduced the corporate status for the churches, the tax exempt status, which is all coming to fruition today because it's the control mechanism that the government is using now on the harlot church system, which is what we're speaking out against so adamantly that we must come out of this system. We cannot be a part of her iniquity and plagues. And then, as the 50s progress, we have Elvis Presley, started out with his influence on society progressed. We see wonderful additions like Disney, who I attribute to the basic, the single most dominant force on the destruction of the family.
Pure evil. Disney is
pure evil.
Pure evil.
We see the early Disney movies always portraying a single parent family. Making commonplace. And today I sit and watch this stuff with my kids. You can't get away from it. And I watch a family show, a nice little family. But you can see what they've done with the male and the female role, where the father told the kid to do something, and the kid just ignored the father. And the father says to the kid, wait till your mother gets home. And the mother gets home from work and tells the kid to do it, and the kid runs off scared to death of the mom. And this is completely twisted. This is how this has happened by, men assuming these roles that have been portrayed for them on this, propaganda, Tavistock Institute, media. And this has all been at work here, And then from there, we see this is the time, in the early 60s when the beast kingdom corrupts the covenant with flatteries, taking prayer out of the schools. And we also have wonderful things like the Beatles with the New Age thinking, the Rolling Stones, teaching the kids to rebel against their parents. We've got revisionist history, they're rewriting the history books. Gloria Steinem, telling women, to not be trapped by their stereotype role of the homemaker. We have
we have Bush Sr. is the ambassador to China, working with Nixon and Kissinger, Alan Greenspan, and setting the stage for the collapse. Bush and Kissinger worked out these deals to deindustrialize America maliciously, intentionally. Greenspan worked diligently on taking America off the gold standard, which happened in 1971. Soon after that, they're over there in the Middle East making a deal with the Arabs. Setting up their infrastructure for the oil, controlling the Middle East, and in turn, the Arabs were required to reinvest in our treasury, our T-bills. And then we have, 73, we have Roe versus Wade, Flattery's, woman, you can't be saddled by a mistake that you made. A woman has to be in control of her own body. She has to have the right to choose. And, this is progressing here as we see these doctrines of demons just infiltrating society, corrupting the covenant.
All quickening. I mean, you couldn't get a better outlay of the fleshly things that have just transpired in Chris's historical. He's covering all the bases.
Elvis Presley used to hire those women to go in there and act crazy,
And the Beatles, they were all.
Elvis Presley, was he being used? He was obviously being handled and used. But I think he may have become the only person that, he became more famous than Jesus, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's what John Lennon said about himself.
Yeah.
John Lennon said that about the Beatles,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was very. It was eerie how soon it was before his death that he did say that. He was quoted as saying that.
Wow.
Anyone but Jesus. That's what the devil wants, anyone.
That's right,
but
anyone.
Jesus,
it doesn't really matter, you're right. Anything, anyone, any cell phone, it just don't matter.
It doesn't matter because anyone, anything but Jesus is what
they're all on the broad road.
But then this is when around the early 70s then is when Satan really started getting his real tentacles into the church with the Jesus movement and Calvary Chapel bringing the rock music into the churches, and that was absolutely financed with Illuminati money. I've seen that documented. And, probably thinking that he was doing God's service, probably just like Billy Graham did by taking Randolph Hearst's money. But these people don't realize what they're doing, They just don't realize. They're playing God, it's the same old story, Cain and Abel, Cain, doing it his way, giving God the sacrifice that he, deemed was appropriate. Same pattern,
Right.
And then we've got, other infiltrations into our way of life, the corruption with Archie Bunker, and his, mentality,
Right.
Soap, Billy Crystal.
Fine expression of the American man that's supposed to be head of the family.
Right. Soap, Billy Crystal, the first openly gay, TV figure that was the start of, making the homosexual lifestyle acceptable and words can't even describe where we see that today. And then we have MTV, Beavis and Butthead. For goodness sakes, I mean, this stuff was just pure evil, corrupting the minds of the youth. Woe to these producers that were targeting the children, and still today, because you see this new world order.
They brought the books in of the, the Tim LaHaye stuff in that era, too.
Sure they did. That's right. That all came out of that. Tim LaHaye, 33 Degree Mason. Started the Council on National Policy, which was what we see, we'll get into this later, in another show. But the Council on National Policy is the corrupt Freemasonic front group that is hiding behind Christianity. It basically controls Christian media, is responsible for the lukewarm, message coming across the airwaves today as we, see, everything just being, mingled, as the gospel message, the call to be separate. It's been completely done away with. But, Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say, Chris, this is audience. This is everything that Chris has just brought out. And the fleshly understanding is actually spiritual, treading on serpents and scorpions, doctrines of demons. Every one of the things that he spoke of is a doctrine of demons.
Absolutely.
And we're not
deceived.
It's
all of the world, too.
We're not deceived. But in China, the same events with different names and different peoples going on.
Now, if they can free Libya, if they can free Libya, they can bring all of this to them.
Let's just pay for
the whole page
wars
that you wrote here, Chris, and they could just take it over to Libya, huh?
Yeah, right.
And have Billy Crystal TV.
Yeah, they'll get the internet in over there and you know, corrupt the Muslim men with pornography and all the,
but,
you know, all the
things.
You know
what? That have, the Arab women are so mistreated they won't that they have to wear headscarves. But they'll be freed from wearing headscarves, but they're going to give them this.
Yeah,
arsenic.
Right. But we see these spirits, folks, that have been, you know, in all these things we're reading right here are the, you know, the three unclean spirits that are behind, you know, the horses and the beasts, the Marxist lies, you know, the black science, the witchcraft, and the mercantilism. You know, these are the three unclean spirits that are at work here with the pale horse, the verse fourth beast. And, you know, it continues with, you know, in the 70s or the 80s, we get the VCR, where now all these movies are in everybody's home, you know, readily available.
Yep.
So, you know, the late 1987, the New International Version Bible replaces the King James Bible in sales. We have to understand that the work that Westcott and Hort did on the New International Version was done in the 1800s. It took Satan 100 years to get people to accept.
100 years to surpass the King James, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people had discernment, you know, in the early part of the century. They wouldn't accept anything like this. But as, you know, people are just being, you know, dumbed down, and their discernment is being diluted. You know, this is when it's time to accept these corrupt Alexandrian text translations, not to mention the ones we have today. I won't even go there with the Message and the others. But, you know, and then this is the time that we've got Robert Schuller with his, you know, self-esteem gospel. You know, the Crystal Cathedral.
Which is up Schuller, for sale now.
Yeah, Schuller started out with a drive-in. And you drove in and you had sanctified speakers that you hung on your car. I just found that out last week. James Lloyd was talking about that. And, yeah, it was a great idea, you know. People would go to church in their pajamas and it was wonderful. But, you know, these doctrines, you know, this is all setting the stage.
Chuck Schumer and Calvary, or Chuck Misler and the Calvary Chapel is another, you know.
Yeah, they're all in there. They're all out of this. I mean, I'm just.
Yeah, I know. You can't cover. You need a list too long.
But it's this mentality of merchandising the souls. You know, that's what Scripture says. They are merchandisers of souls. And this is what these are. And this is what this evangelical mentality is. Next, you know, except on the dotted line, next. And, you know, this is why today, you know, the gospel's gone in these churches.
Merchandising the souls, and this is why the dead bodies are laying right now in the street.
Exactly. That's right, because they're dead, because there's no gospel. But, you know, we see Schuller, you know, Schuller discipled Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. You know, both of these guys followed Schuller's teaching from the, you know, the church growth mentality coming out of Fuller Theological Seminary. Fuller or Dallas?
Dallas Theological was seminary was in 1924.
Oh, Dallas was old.
Yeah,
right.
Fuller was a newer one. Yeah, wasn't
Fuller
it?
Was one. You know, that's where we have C. Peter Wagner.
Yeah.
All the foundation of these apostate movements are all come out of this time now. See, because it's prepared. Satan had to start off with you know, Hugh Hefner, the Beatles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Prepare the stage, yeah, right. They have to,
To get people what he did, what happened was we grew accustomed to this prosperity, this post-war prosperity
that
has, you know, never been, we've never had. And now the mentality is that we're entitled to this, that God loves us so much that He owes it to us. And this is the thing that's about to be changed dramatically, right on the horizon. I mean, our shows now are just every week that goes by, we wonder how many more of these messages there's going to be. But Bill Hybels and Rick Warren bring in the Marxist corporate church, because this is what we have. The Marxist agenda was to control the churches and to transform revelatory religion into social religion. This is what's happened. The social has taken place of the sovereignty of God. This is the last
rock. Upon this rock, revelation, they've replaced with socializing gospel.
With opinion.
Right, with opinions. Worldviews.
Right, worldviews.
How do you feel about this?
And
there's no absolute truth.
Yeah. And as we see, today, the things that happened before, the Pale Horse was the Federal Reserve System, which has come to fruition today. And I still maintain that the Federal Reserve's main goal was to finance the three world wars. It's the fiat money system that was.
That certainly was an absolute necessity in order to do that. There's no way it could have been.
There's no way they could have financed the military industrial complex without the fiat currency system, the fractional reserve lending, et cetera, et cetera.
Which is usury. It's usury.
It's usury on steroids.
Yep.
And here we are today, as we see the fleshly understandings of the church looking for the Gog-Magog war, which, we can probably assign identities to out there. But we're all finding out that, and you're going to see this, folks, in the weeks to come, as we bring out the final understandings of the Gog-Magog war, which is, in fact, the event that we believe is when God said that if I would tell you, you wouldn't believe it. And it's when the final judgment comes, and it's the judgment that comes upon the church from the church. God uses His church to pass judgment upon the remnant, upon the multitude, as we see these apostate movements rising to power, and we see these maniacs like Todd Bentley and the whole Signs and Wonders crowd, who are all in support of fleshly Israel, which is a signature of wandering after the beast. But we see a guy like Todd Bentley with Joel's army tattooed to his chest. And you'll see in Scripture, when you understand the metaphoric language, that Joel's army are the bad guys. This is the army that the Lord uses.
That's not even hidden metaphor. You can read it literally and see they're the bad guys.
Yeah, it's hidden to them. I mean,
how blind they are, right?
That's how blind they are. God allows them to be deceived because they love not the truth. They've just taken Scripture and set it aside and put these dominionist doctrines, which is what the predominant mentality is that the church is going to fix the world and we're going to take it back for Jesus. And this isn't in Scripture. This is not scriptural. This is doctrines of men, doctrines of flesh, that is the result of men straying from the love of the truth. And the Lord has just allowed it to continue. And now here we are today as we see the gray areas diminishing, and we're going to see the line in the sand drawn. The plumb line is drawn. And, God's remnant have positioned themselves in the truth. We've entered into our sanctuary, into our, what's the word I'm looking for? It says, enter into thy chambers and shut thy door about thee. The chambers is the truth. It's God's will, abiding in Christ, abiding in the truth. This is where our protection is. And this is what we have to understand, that we're called to be positioned to, we're called to pray, to be accounted worthy, to escape these things. And this is where we are, folks. This is what we've seen happen. And it's your time now to find your place in this. Study to show yourself approved.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, there is no fleshly solution to anything. If you're looking for a flesh solution, it's just not there. It's good to have food. It's good to have a little extra, maybe winter-type clothing, some planting, some seeds to plant and stuff, but all your hopes is in Jesus Christ. And then he'll direct you into those things that you may need in these upcoming events. You know, the whole world has been a plantation. I think Visigoth and Gordon Comstock were discussing this a few days ago. And they're absolutely right. The whole thing has been a plantation all along. And America's just been on top of the dung heap. And that's changing in America, this entitlement thing. And they're going to be lowered down at the bottom of the dung heap. We're going to be level with Mexico, China, India. That's what's coming to America.
That's what they're doing. All by plan, all by design.
Yeah.
But it's God. It says in Joel, where we get Joel's army, this is part of the judgment. And it says that I will again, send captivity to Judah and Jerusalem.
Yep.
Second time, right. And here we are, we are in this slave system. But the Lord's got a way for us. He's made a way for us. And we just need to find it.
Audience, we've covered historically, just in this show, all these events that are foretold in Scripture that you are to pray not to be deceived against. And on one level, they're national events, but on your level, in your lives, if you walk into a church, you're going to hear doctrines of demons. And you're not going to recognize it unless you study yourself approved and enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and do the will of the Lord. It is them who will not. And they've been preaching for the past 200 years a millennial kingdom where, after our Lord comes, then we're going to live and reign for 1,000 years. But that is not what Scripture says. It says, I come like a thief in the night. That means it's over. And I'm going to sit on the great white throne judgment. And I'm going to open the books. Because I am the Lord and this is my will. And I am going to gather the tares and burn them. And I am going to gather my wheat into my barn. These examples are all over Scriptures. I will gather in a net all the fishes and divide them and put some into clean vessels and others gone. These are cut and dry when you get down to it, audience. In closing, Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.
Treasure, wide in fame, you bow unto your